Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Let's Talk Cannabis in Kansas. Today, we're going to do a look at CBD-only states. I know Kelly will be joining us here in just a short bit, and he's done a lot of research. And as we know, per the activity we've had in the Kansas legislature this last few weeks, CBD only is a huge discussion in Kansas. And I know that it's a discussion that we need to have because we all need to be educated on how it's worked in other states, where those states are at with their laws now, how did it affect patients. So that's what we want to talk about today. We do have some updates. I just want to say that we really want to encourage you to stay encouraged. As we go ahead and you see that some of these things are passed and you feel discouraged by that, it's just a small, minute little step forward. I want to guarantee to you that we are working hard every day and that there are lawmakers on your side who are also advocating for you at Topeka right now. And do not lose hope when you see those small things. Actually be encouraged by them. We are fighting as hard as we have ever fought. We are fighting so hard. So we want you to take encouragement. And again, like we said yesterday, if you don't know who represents you, go to openstates.org, put in your address, get your representative's information, and then go to the kslegislature.org website. And on your rep's page or senator's page, either one, will not only be their contact information for session, but this is very important. It'll be an email that you can contact them through over the summer, the fall, and the early winter months. Now, that's important because their state emails, a lot of times they don't have access to. So once session is over. So right now, use their government email, but when session ends, switch to that private email and continue the education. Educate, educate, educate. And we are partners in this. Yes, we are working hard at Topeka. Yes, we're working hard to do what we can, but we need you. You are equally as important. So please go to openstates.org, get your reps information, and be vigilant. Set it in your calendar. If you're emailing them once a week with some new information or twice a week, put it in your calendar so that you get reminders. It is that important. Okay. Kelly, I know that you're with us now, and today we're taking a look at the CBD-only states. What were their bills about? How did it work out for them? Where are they now with it? How did it work out for patients? So I know you have lots of information to share, so I'm going to let you get to that.
Okay. All right. So thank you. I did some research the other day on what states have considered or actually passed CBD-only laws. And what I have found is that out of the 19 states that have either considered it or actually passed into law the CBD-only legislation, there are only three who don't have active legislation that essentially would legalize and regulate medical cannabis altogether. And that's a pretty huge finding, because that means that all of these other states, state governments who have gone down this path, they've already shifted focus. And I think our lawmakers and definitely their constituents, all of the citizens of Kansas, we have to understand that something that is so exclusive like a CBD-only bill is very limiting. And we're really not seeing the forest for the trees here if we just go down this very narrow path and
so
like other states have.
Yeah, so let's restate that really quickly, Kelly, because that is powerful information. Folks, you need to write that down. You need to write that down and include it in your emails to your representatives. So, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, 19 states went the CBD-only route. Only three of them are without active legislation to move to full medical cannabis.
It's actually so there were more states that there were, I think, like three that had considered it. So technically there were like 16 or 17 states that fully passed CBD only legislation. And as 16 states right now have active medical bills, and some of these states have multiple bills in their legislature, just like we do in Kansas, but they are for full medical regulation as opposed to just these small things.
Right, and that is so powerful, folks. That is powerful information for you to share. As soon as this broadcast is done, or even right now, open that email, and. You know, if you need those links or something, again, you know, you can contact us at info@bleedingchaos.org, and I will get those links from Kelly today, and we can get those to you. But at least share the information. This is so vital and so important. What it shows is that the slow boat method, right? It doesn't serve all the people, and in the long run, people see that there are people suffering who will not be included, and at some point or another, that becomes morally abhorrent to everyone. It just does, and so they've learned their lesson. CBD only was not an answer.
Right, and all of this kind of goes back to one of your previous points, Lisa, is that these have been brought about by the public. These have been advocate groups that came out and spoke out against these bills after they passed, and now they're going back to the drawing board and yet spending more tax dollars to fix it, which we don't really have that kind of money to be doing that here in Kansas.
Great point.
You know, we have to kind of look at the larger picture here, and yeah, I just. One of the really interesting things that I'll point out is that in Iowa, there was an amendment that passed, HSB 132, and it amends their CBD only, and it passed out of the House. I believe it was a committee, but it was a GOP, it was a conservative-led House. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things that, you know, it just proves that this is not partisan. This is an issue that reaches so many different people, different generations, across all ethnicities. I mean, this is a very serious issue, and especially when we're looking at, you know, treating the opioid epidemic like we've all talked about. I mean, people are really waking up to it.
Yeah. Well, that's a really great point, and one that you've brought about before. This is not a partisan issue. And within our membership, and then within all of our chapter groups, you know, and our main group and people who follow our page, I guarantee you it runs the political gamut. It runs the spectrum. That's an excellent point to make to your representatives when you're sending that email, that this is not a partisan issue, that many states, there is a profound GOP-led movement on behalf of patient rights. So, you know, and that.
Yeah. That's exactly right. The states that don't have current legislation are Alabama, Idaho, and Arkansas. I think Arkansas might. I saw something the other day about it. That may have changed, but all of the other states, and this is, it's just an incredible list. And like you said, Lisa, I'd be happy to, you know, get you this information so we can send it out. But I mean, I'm looking at Florida, as we know, Florida and New York already legalized for medical this past election cycle, but Georgia, Oklahoma is going to be looking at it next year. It's going to be on the ballot, but North Carolina, South Carolina, Utah, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, Mississippi,
yeah.
They all have active legislation, including Wyoming, Missouri, and Kentucky. and West Virginia as well.
And it's, and again, it's that is very important information to give to these lawmakers. They don't deal in this world every day. Like, first of all, advocates do, but even the patients, the caregivers, our members, the level of education and knowledge that we're at, you know, they're not even close. So we can't assume that they would in any way know this information. They're not going to get this information unless we pass it along. And so that's vital information. So I'm really asking you today to please, I cannot emphasize how important your contact with your representatives and your senators truly is. It absolutely is vital. So send this information. Now, we were just talking about the GOP, so I just went and Googled really quickly, and anybody can. I simply Googled GOP-led medical cannabis bill. And very quickly, just what comes up is GOP members to introduce medical marijuana bill for Tennessee. Republican legislators detail Tennessee's medical marijuana bill. Virginia Republican introduces bill to end federal marijuana prohibition. That was on the federal level. Republicans are pushing for marijuana legalization in Missouri, South Carolina, Utah, Ohio was Republican-led. So this is, and I think it's important, do that quick Google search, get that information, put that in there too if your representative is GOP, and give them some peace of mind. You know, it's not so true this session. In sessions before, I would say that going to the Capitol was kind of like going to a seventh grade dance where all the girls are on one side, boys on the other, and nobody's dancing, but everybody's looking around to see who's looking at them. And we've seen more work come out of Topeka this session than I've ever seen before. Way to go, Kansas, and voting the moderates, because and more Democrats in, because they, all of the freshmen have come in with an attitude of let's get work done. And I've seen it with my own eyes, have seen them push the old timers who, you know, might have had the response, well, we just don't do a lot of work the first few weeks. And I've heard from freshmen say, and I told them, well, that's we're here to work. The people voted us here to work, and that's what we're going to do. And I can tell you, I have seen that with my own eyes. Legislators who do not even have time to eat lunch, they are slammed all day long, and they are there because they're passionate and they care. Those people exist in Topeka, and they deserve our support. So there are people there who care for you to talk about. But for those GOP who are still gun-shy, because I'm telling you, they do still exist, we run into a certain a few certain issues with GOP legislators. The first one that's come up big this year has been federal state supremacy argument. This last testimony I gave on 2152, which was Wilson's bill, I had tried over and over again to reassure people, first of all, that, you know, Trump on the campaign trail had said he supports medical cannabis. He supports it as a state's rights issue. He has personal experience. He had friends, a family or whatever that he knew that did it, because they're very worried about what's going to come out of D.C. You know, what happens in, you know, if this happens. So trying to give them that reassurance did not work. Trying to argue that it's a state's rights issue didn't work. What I did was took text from a response email I got from Yoder on the issue, and I simply put that text in my testimony. And don't take my word for it. Here's Yoder's response. This is a state's rights issue. So, you know, don't be afraid to do that. If you've written to Yoder before and got a response email, quote his language and give it back to them. They need reassurance. So this kind of stuff, to show them how GOP is moving on a, you know, in these other states for medical cannabis, will help them not be so gun shy, and to move those people who have been in office a long time in Topeka, a lot of them have been, and who are just, you know, scared to do anything new. They need this reassurance. And so I would really encourage you, again, I just went and Googled GOP-led medical cannabis bills, and Google will give you the list. And then, like, Kelly's got the information available on the CBD-only bill and how
it's
that's turned
too.
Out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's all out there. There's the great website is procon, I think .org or .com, and they've got some great information. There's also the cannabis law blog. There's several different resources that you can find. Of course, the Marijuana Policy Project and Normal, That's good updates.
And yes, and Americans for Safe Access. These are all it's the Canna Law blog, and these are all great resources for information. Absolutely. And when you go to procon.org, they have a they still call it marijuana, unfortunately, but they have a medical marijuana section, and you click on that, and you will get more information than you've ever wanted to know, including the entire historical timeline on prohibition, which I also used in my testimony. So, really good vital information. So,
I just wanted to make one other point. I think it's interesting that with these other bills, the CBD-only bills that have been passed in other states, they were done by legislatives. Legislative action. It had nothing to do with public vote or anything like that. Those were decisions that were made, you know, in closed doors. And I mean, yes, maybe some committee hearings are open to the public. Maybe they're not. I don't know to what extent, but I just think that's interesting that, you know, all of these laws have just kind of cropped up within the past few years and with heavy influence from you know, entities that we've discussed previously. And, you know, now they've gone back because the people have spoken. So I just think that's quite telling.
Yes. And like we've reviewed in the last few shows, that the power of the people works. We talked about the change of the DEA language on their website. That was due to Americans for Safe Access and their 25 points that they filed against the ASA. But that petition by the people led a lot of power. And so the even in this state, when people feel like, well, we just have no hope because we don't have ballot initiative. No, you do have hope. You still have a voice. And I am telling you, there are people up there in Topeka who do care. Even if your lawmaker doesn't care, keep hammering away. Show them that we're persistent. We are committed, and we are not going to stop, and we are not going to go away. They cannot ignore this issue. So I beg you to stay committed, and that there is change being affected at Topeka. There, you know, the tectonic plates are moving, and we need to continue to apply the pressure. Do not give up. Don't relent on the pressure at all. Continue it up through session, and continue through summer, and fall and early winter. Don't relent on the pressure. They have to know we're serious about this issue, that Kansans want this to happen, and so I really, you know, encourage you to keep doing that, and then. So, Kelly, when you looked at these CBD-only states, we just had that very interesting thing happen with the DW pharmaceutical product being added to the controlled substances thing that happened this week.
Yeah.
Did you find any other state, I have not been able to, that specifically mentioned a pharmaceutical product in such a way, even in the CBD-only state?
I do believe that some have actually, and I could be misspeaking, and I need to go back and double check on that. But I'm not sure, and what I haven't seen are laws like this that are specifically updating or amending the Controlled Substance Act with this huge long list of, you know, compounds and chemicals and all these things, and then they throw in a cannabinoid that's involved with a natural plant. That's, I have not seen that yet.
Okay.
But I'll have to go back and look, because it's a great point that, you know, these other states that have passed CBD only very exclusive, limited bills, they have to be there has to be some sort of verbiage or language somewhere that, you know, kind of points to where that influence came from. So I would not be surprised in the least bit if in some way that they do.
Okay. I would just find that really interesting, because to me, I'm not going to pretend that I see every article, because we're always working very hard. If people don't think we're working hard, boy, they don't understand, do they? Well, we are singularly focused from the minute we wake until the minute we go to sleep. Believe me, Bleeding Kansas Advocates and the Kansas Safe Access Act is the kind of the end-all be-all of our day. But I have not seen any. And that doesn't mean, again, that they don't exist, but I haven't seen them. So I just, you know, felt that really unusual. If you listening, if you have seen those, please, you know, feel free to email those to me at president@bleedingkf.org, because I would be very interested to see those. Kelly made reference to the, we call them the ninja bills. As many of you are aware, we saw what happened with 155, Senator Haley's bill, when Ty Masterson of Andover, you know, they did the gut and go and added in this 151 language, and no one saw 151 coming. And Kelly raised our awareness last week that that is not the only ninja bill like that in the House or the Senate. There are more, and we need to keep an eye on those bills as well. And we are still, I've told you before, we are actively working to find out who introduced those bills. We want to know who's behind that language. And so we have to keep an eye on those. And it would be interesting to find out if other states have had to deal with these kind of bills too, because I've not seen that either. I've not seen anything about other bills in other states written in the unique language that these bills are. So very interested to find out those points, and we'll do some further research on both those to see if a distinct pharmaceutical product by name has ever been added to a controlled substance list in any other state, and then to find out if other states have, you know, faced these ninja bills. If it's exclusive to Kansas, the game gets more interesting. You know, would you agree, Kelly?
Oh, definitely, because, I mean, we know here that we have influences from KU Med, the VA, now Mayo, because they are St. Francis, or I'm sorry, Thormont Vale is now hooked in with Mayo. You know, there are several pretty large, Grace Med is here. I mean, there are several different large entities that have medical influence here as well as pharmaceutical. And so I think we need all those things need to be taken into consideration when looking at these bills.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's imperative on behalf of our patients that we know. I think our patients and our members and folks are pretty well aware, just like we are, of the opponents that we face year after year and pretty much what their script is going to be. So we kind of need to figure out if they're, you know, like I said yesterday, who we're squaring off against in the OK Corral.
Right.
We kind of need to.
Yeah, and I guess I that's true. I guess I should clarify is that I'm not saying that in an adversarial way. I mean, this, we just need to know who all the players are and what their intentions are, I guess.
Yes, exactly. Because at the end of it, like we said before, when we did the show on Kansas law enforcement, we would like for the Kansas law enforcement, we would love Ed Klimt to read our bill. We would like to know what his concerns and his objectives are specifically so that we can address
and collaborate
them.
On it. Yeah.
Yes. We love it when lawmakers come back with questions or I need to see this or I need to see that. That is wonderful. We want to work in partnership with people. Our goal has always been to have the best bill that we could possibly ever have for Kansas and to meet specific Kansas needs. And so, you know, we would welcome, a review of our bill and a discussion and for them to voice any concerns that they have, because probably we can explain them very easily. We have a reason for everything that's in that bill. It's all based on research, and it's based on our contact with experts across many fields within the industry who actually helped form very critical language in the bill. So when people raise objections and, you know, that have been raised along the line, even from other people, you know, somebody said that they felt our bill was too restrictive on growers. And we kind of had to laugh at that because we consulted with two internationally known and award-winning growers on our grow language. One even came from Colorado to meet me in Lawrence to go over that language. And so, you know, we really went to the experts across the board. So we have a reason for everything in there, but we can't even discuss it if people aren't willing to have a discussion. So we welcome that. And so whoever's behind these other bills, if they have questions or objections, we would be willing to work with them, but they are still a question mark at this point. So,
I'm sorry. The fact, you know, we have the fact that we have had in-state and out-of-state organizations review and really vet the Kansas Safe Access Act. I think that speaks volumes, and really it needs to be understood by lawmakers fully, because to have a legislation as comprehensive as ours to be reviewed by the Kansas Department of Health and Environment and the Kansas Health Institute and meet certain requirements, you know, they gave feedback and said, hey, this meets certain requirements. And then it was taken to the Foundation of Cannabis Unified Standards in Colorado, and they vetted it and reviewed it. And I mean, I think that's huge. And like I said, the comprehensiveness, the sustainability, and all of the protective measures that are in it to protect patients and quality and all of these things, it speaks volume to the amount of research done here and prior and years past, and the organization as well of the advocacy movement.
Well, we always say keep it professional, keep it respectful, and I think a whole lot of us came from backgrounds in the corporate world or from some form of working in administration, and we're just used to a certain kind of process, a diligence in a process, and also an inclusiveness in a process. Because even though I'm not a BPA, I worked with many BPAs building databases and processes through mergers and acquisitions and such. So I think everyone brought that experience that if you're going to build a process, you go to the experts and, you know, for every cog in the works, and you get that expert language in. And so I'm proud of that. And we try to pass that on and encourage to our members, again, when you contact lawmakers, please be respectful. Please be professional. It does have an effect. And one bad phone call can put our whole bill at risk. So we again, ask you to be professional and respectful when you contact lawmakers. But I do think we've said before we were going to have an upcoming show at some point to just talk about the Kansas Safe Access Act, and we really need to do that. People want to know what's in it. If you want to know what's in it, I encourage you to go to bksadvocates.org. That's bksadvocates.org. And on the website, you will find a link that will lead you to a copy of the bill, and I encourage you to read it for yourself. Is it a long read? Yes. believe me, it's much shorter than the time it took to write it. it affects you. It affects the state. And so, as always, we welcome your feedback on that. We're pretty proud of it. Is any bill perfect? No, not a perfect bill, but it is a hard-worked and hard-won bill. So I think when you read it, you can maybe appreciate the effort in it. It is 80 pages long. So as always, you can find us on Twitter at Bleeding4Kansas, at Bleeding and the number 4 Kansas. You can find us on Facebook at Bleeding Kansas Advocates. And again, the website, bksadvocates.org. And again, thanks to Kelly, who is wonderful. I think we're going to call you the Bleeding Kansas Advocate Scholar. the librarian, the keeper of information. You know, we have Nurse Dawn, who brings the medical, and Charlotte is also phenomenal at research. We just have a great team, really proud of them, and patients and caregivers and parents can be proud of this team. I can tell you they're very dedicated and committed. Again, those plates are moving in Topeka. Keep up the pressure. Don't stop. We are always working hard every day. There are phone calls and emails and personal visits going on day in and day out with lawmakers. And so I want you to be encouraged. Keep up the pressure. It's vital. You are a key role. You may think your little email, your little follow-up phone call, again, because send the email, then do the follow-up phone call. Leaving a message, send an email, really important. Please look at it. You are a vital piece, and this cannot happen without you, okay? All right, well, we are out of time for this episode, but like we always say, I'm going to let Kelly say it this time, I think. as we always say.
Stop the stigma.
Stop the stigma. That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.